Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the program. My name is William Hemsworth. It is great to be with you all on this great Saturday morning. I'm honored to have our guest, Nancy Banzuch. She's the founder of Catholic Sprouts, an apostolate focused on helping parents build and lead their own domestic church. Catholic Sprouts offers a daily podcast, a vibrant community for kids, and printed products designed to help hand on the Catholic faith. Nancy and her husband Bill live outside of Minneapolis with their six young children. Nancy, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. I'm looking through everything. I was like, wow, I relate so much to what you're doing with the Augustine Institute and with Catholic Sprouts. Just amazing. So, Catholic Sprouts, how did that venture come along and how's it been going and what led you to it?
What's funny is there's some people that start out life, I think, with a really clear plan. I am not one of those people. I am like type B to the BS, B minus, and I definitely just kind of follow one thing to the next. And Catholic Sprouts definitely started as an accident. What happened is that so we have six kids, and before any of them were in school, I was just I don't know, I was just feeling like a super big failure when it came to teaching the faith in my home. I had older sisters who had kids, and I'd watch them, and I, realized or thought to myself, I do this so much better. And I thought, like, teaching the faith is just going to be this organic thing. Like, my kids will gather around me, I'll tell saint stories, we'll just like do crafts, and it'll be beautiful and life-giving. And the truth of the matter is that it was very different than that. There was always someone crying. The baby always had a dirty diaper. The kids didn't want to listen to me. And my temper was so much shorter than I thought it ever would be. So I just was feeling like a massive failure. So what happened is around this time, my husband found a podcast for the kids to listen to while they brushed their teeth. It was like 2 minutes and it was like factoids. But the whole point was like, to build this tiny little space, right, in the day. And I thought, man, that's so genius. They're learning things and it fits right into this tiny little pocket in our day. I thought it would be really great if this was teaching the Catholic faith. Of course, there was nothing like that. So, because I get easily carried away with ideas, I decided to start recording a podcast for my own kids to listen to over breakfast. So, like, while I'm negotiating with toddlers and scooping out oatmeal, there can just be something playing that shares some beautiful little seed of faith with them. So I did that. And I know it sounds crazy, but I was feeling that much of a failure that I was willing to start a podcast for my kids called Catholic Sprouts. I shared it, and the beautiful, God is so good, right? He not only made this a success in my own home, but he showed me that I wasn't the only one struggling. Because what was it? I'm not good with numbers, but I just looked and I think we just passed 10 million downloads with the Catholic Sprouts podcast,
Amazing.
which in I think 4 years. And so it's just this huge level of validation that I'm not the only one that thinks it's hard, that isn't like able to just organically teach the faith as we're driving to soccer practice and stuff, that it's hard. It's a struggle. And so the Lord's been really good to me. And then with Catholic Sprouts, again, one thing just sort of accidentally leads to another. We started putting out devotionals for families and saint books. And our focus is 100% on creating things that parents can use at home. There's a lot of really powerful Catholic institutions supporting schools and parishes. That's wonderful. But we really want things that aren't necessarily meant for the classroom. They're like meant for a parent to snuggle up with a kid on the couch and read without any prep and call it a win. I'm learning, you're learning, we're teaching the faith in our home.
Right, and the podcast, it's a daily podcast. I've been checking it out myself. It's like 5, 8 minutes, somewhere along there. So it's very, very short, very informative. What feedback have you received on the podcast itself?
You know what's so fun is I know this is true about myself. I don't know if it's true for you, but like I'll do things for my kids that I won't do for myself. I'll think like, you need to learn this, so we're gonna listen to this podcast. Whereas perhaps I need to learn it too. So the most beautiful thing is to hear from parents that probably had really poor formation in their own childhood, like I did. And they write and they're like, "We've learned so much. My husband's been listening in the morning and he's considering going through our CIA." You know, just like this exposure, like we're turning it on for our kids, but there's always an adult turning it on, whether you're listening in the car or over breakfast. And so like the kids like it. We get a lot of great feedback from kids, but it's always touches my heart the most from parents who are just like, "I never would have turned this on for myself, but I realize I need it." And what I like to think of is like, we're the baby step into something like Bible in a year, catechism in a year. You know, like there is
Right.
so much for adults, but we're that little baby step that you can take. Like, I can give this 5 minutes a day before I'm willing to commit like 30 minutes a day to something different. So, but that always warms my heart. Just a whole family that listens, that gets into the routine, and that, you know, because I mean, I know I'm in constant need of formation, and so are so many other parents. So that's been the greatest blessing for sure.
That's great. And all of us are needed more formation. And speaking of formations, Catholic Sprouts, you have this community aspect to it as well. Can you share with our listeners about that?
Sure. So one thing that, you know, as my kids grow, our oldest is in middle school, you realize that there's facts, and facts are good so that we can form ourselves and make that deeper faith commitment, but we always need to be acting to living this out. And so I was really on my heart last summer to be like, okay, but how do we support people to live this out, especially people that are living in like Catholic deserts? You know, there's people that don't have access to religious communities, that don't have perpetual adoration chapels, that, you know, they don't have Catholic friends. And so we started something called the Catholic Sprouts Clubhouse. It's very simple. Once a week, we gather on a Zoom call, and one week we pray together. 1 week we talk to a religious order. In fact, earlier this morning we talked to the Salesian Sisters of St. John Bosco. You know, just everybody log on. They're going to tell us their vocation story and answer questions. Another time we craft, you know, I know my girls are all about that. Oh, it's Lent. Let's make a Lenten craft that we can hang in our house. And then another time we gather a guy that works with us. His name is John Wood from Extraordinary Mission. He pretends to be a knight, same named Sir Roland, and he teaches us about virtue. So it's just 4 hours a month on a Zoom call. I know Zoom isn't ideal, right? It'd be way better if we were all in the parish basement together doing this. But Zoom does give us an amazing opportunity to talk to sisters in Europe, to, you know, bring on experts from the other side of the country to talk about virtue. So it's just really, honestly, it's my favorite 4 hours of the week. I love that it's this thing that we offer. You know, it's kind of like quote unquote my job, but I'm there with all of my kids. You know, like they were leaning on me, asking the sister questions while we were in this call this morning. It's just really life-giving and beautiful to, I just love a place where we can celebrate being Catholic. Because even in my real life, you know, whether it's like my kids are on the swim team or, you know, even at our parochial school here, it's just sometimes I feel a hesitancy to be boldly Catholic, you know, like this is too much. I don't know, but just to be somewhere and we're like, we're Catholic, we're going to talk about the Eucharist, you know, just yay raw, let's celebrate being Catholic. I love that my kids have a place to do that, and that I do too, frankly. So,
That's great. And that led into the Catholic parent and
yeah.
what you're doing at the Augustine Institute. So how did you become involved with that project?
You know, the beautiful thing is that all of these Catholic apostolates are run by real people that have the same struggles that we do. And so, two of the guys over there involved in content creation have a whole mess of kids who every morning listen to the Catholic Sprouts podcast. And so we started talking to them, and I don't know if I just strike them as sort of like a clearly flawed family or something, but they were like, you know what's missing? Because, you know, they have formed and they can see kind of all of the major Catholic content out there. And the truth is there's tons of stuff for marriage prep. There's a lot of stuff for older kids, like high school kids, but the material for parents is kind of a wasteland. There's not a lot. And what there is sort of this like glossy, ideal Catholic family, like pictures of 10 kids in a family with all their heads bowed and praying or something, I don't know about you, but that's not what my family looks like in
Not at
mass.
all.
No, never, never. I mean, I don't even know if you could take a picture and pretend that we were that way. I don't know. So, and they felt this too. And they just said, we need something that people can watch, parents can watch, and no matter who they are, they can say, oh, I see myself right there, So that was really our goal. That was like the seed of the idea. And so we were like, okay, but what do we structure this on? Because one thing that really bothers me, especially on social media for Catholic parents, is that we can all get into this like trading horror stories too, like, oh my, like literally last Sunday in Mass, I had a 2-year-old vomit on me. Yeah, that was a new low. That was a new low. But like I've also had lots of beautiful moments. So we don't want to just be like, it's hard. Let's all tell hard stories. We want to be like, it's hard, but it's worth it. And here's
Absolutely.
why. And here's why the heart is beautiful, And so we actually framed it around the five precepts of the church. Because if you look at the five precepts, they're sort of like the bare minimum, right? If you're going to be Catholic, this is the bare minimum. Sunday obligation, once a year reception of the Eucharist, once a year reception of confession, tithing, fasting, right? And then we also added teaching the faith because that's kind of the bare, that is specifically called up for parents in the catechism. And so we said, okay, this is the bare minimum requirement to be Catholic. How do parents live out the call to these things in a radically different way than someone who is single? Because I don't know about you, but when I was single, going to Mass, going to confession, even tithing, totally different than it is now with six kids in tow. I mean, ridiculously different. Like I'm most of the time out in the vestibule working up a sweat during the homily, not sitting there peacefully taking it in, So we want to acknowledge that, like, yeah, it's different. Let's celebrate the difference. Let's show the difference. In fact, the video crew actually came with us to Mass. And if you pull up the trailer for the Catholic Parent on Forms, you'll see me with a screaming baby and a really unagreeable 4-year-old. So it's hard, but then to really say, like, but why is it so critically important for parents? Because I don't know if you probably, I guarantee you realize this too, but the big thing about teaching the faith to our kids is it's not like I'm standing at a whiteboard lecturing. It's that I'm living my faith in front of them.
They're watching you.
Exactly. They're watching you and they're watching everything,
Yes.
Yeah, like even, skipping a Sunday Mass because it's just too hard, or ducking out of Mass early because it's just too hard. Like those things are impactful. And if we have done those things, it's not like it's game over, give up, but it's just this realization that like it is hard. But for a parent, you're not just living your faith, you're living it with your children. You're responsible for their life of faith too. So it was just really beautiful to just go into each of these, like confession, standing in the confessional line with your children who are old enough to receive the sacrament now. It's just very humbling to be like, okay, 50% of my sins are against my husband, 25 are against my kids, and the other 25 are against God. But it's like these people in my family, these are the ones I've sinned against. They make it hard to come to confession, but if I'm going to have a relationship with them, it's so critical that I'm here. And then, even when we look down the list at like the lesser talked about requirements and the precepts of the church, like tithing is terrifically different when you're a parent. I mean, how old are your kids? You said you have 10-year-old twins, and how are the olders?
Then I have a 15-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter. So yeah, totally different.
Totally different. And I mean, you have college on the horizon,
Yeah.
and yeah, and so the idea, it's just so much more complicated because you're responsible not just for your future, but for their future, which as a parent, a lot of times comes down to dollar signs. And, just the yes, but I have an obligation to tithe and, and just putting those priorities in place. I think it's very easy as a parent to see the good of our children and to place that over the primary good, our relationship to God and to the poor. And just having a space where we can talk about that as parents, because it's something we're all kind of like shrugging off or pretending isn't painful or hard, but it is. So we just really wanted all sorts of parents. And so the big work of this was actually gathering six different types of families to come to have their lives shown and also to be interviewed. So my husband and I have six kids of middle school through toddler. We had a family there who has two kids that's suffering really hard through secondary infertility, but which is a different sort of pain in devout Catholic circles. People assume you've made choices. We had an empty nester family. We had a family that had a tiny baby, just the very first baby. And then we also had a single mom who had, became pregnant, had a baby, had a massive reversion, and is navigating building a domestic church on her own, which is, I just so am so happy that she was willing to share that because, that's the real thing is that wherever Catholic kids are being raised, those people are called to build a domestic church, whether it's grandparents raising grandkids, single parent, divorced parent. These are all very critical, important parents to support and to feel heard and seen in their unique struggles. So I was just so blessed that this great variety of people were willing to be part of the project.
Now, were these all families that are part of your parish or the early local? How'd you line all these families up?
Yeah, so we're in Minneapolis and we filmed in Denver. So we actually
Okay.
didn't know any of them. Well, we did know one. We had a friend that was a focused missionary and he agreed to do it. But the beautiful thing is the Augustine Institute has far-reaching contacts in Denver and around. And so they really did a lot of the legwork to line it up. We kind of got on the call and made the final pitch to convince them to do it. But the Augustine Institute had a lot of the contacts. So, and it's such a great reminder that we do, it can feel isolating to be a Catholic, but there are so many people fighting this fight with us, working to raise Catholic kids and build domestic churches. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Now, part of this series is, in addition to the families that you have present, is the clergy and the religious that are involved. Can you tell us a little about those?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're blessed to have two wonderful nuns from a teaching order and Father John Nepple, who I don't know if you've listened, he's got a very well listened to podcast. I think it's called Catholic Things You Should Know. Super charismatic. And so what's funny is, it was I haven't ever worked on a big project like this. The Augustine Institute does this all the time. So it was interesting to watch and see how things evolve. And so in the first version of the Catholic parent, my husband Bill and I delivered the teaching portions. And then they had people watch it and give their thoughts. And it just felt, we're very much in the trenches, like I am making mistakes all the time. Like I'm kind of so in the weeds that I can't see past it. And so they just felt like we need someone who's kind of above it, who helps and works with Catholic families all the time, but isn't necessarily like in it so deep.
Okay.
So we thought, well, let's have a priest and some religious sisters. And I know, for some people they might think like, oh, but what do they know about family life? They aren't parents. But they have this really unique and beautiful perspective, especially so it was a parish priest and then two sisters that work in a school. And they just have this like wider view of parenting. Like all I can truly know for true for what's true is how I parent my kids. And let me tell you, each of my kids is so different from the next that I feel like a rookie figuring it out every day of the week. But they have
100%.
this. Yeah, did you? Even your twins, that's true.
Boy and girl, totally different personalities. So
Oh,
yes.
yeah. Yeah. And so they just have this wider view, you know, and they can speak without the kind of emotional baggage that I'm working through. And I just think it gives such a uniquely Catholic flavor to it all also that we, you know, that in that we can learn things from people in different vocations. And this rem so one of my sisters, my youngest sister, actually is a fully professed nun. She joined the Community of the Lamb. Their only house in the United States is in Kansas City. They're based in France. Anyway, so we were blessed through my husband's job to live near them for a couple of years, and she happened to be in the US for that time period. So at that time, they started to add a night prayer to their life because, you know, a lot of sisters, they do, or a lot of religious do the Liturgy of the Hours, but they kind of do night prayer at 10. But anyways, they moved it to 2, like 1 a.m. or something. And so the foundress happened to be in town at that time, and she was giving this talk, and she was saying, you know, like, we're adding that to remind ourselves of our connection with mothers and how they rise in the middle of the night and with love go to their beloved and embrace that child, you know. So she was telling this, and at the time I had a newborn, and I was just like, wow, is that what I do in the middle of the night? Because it doesn't feel that way. Like, it feels like, oh my gosh, she's crying again. No, you know, like, so it was just like they were pulling, drawing on the parental experience of being up at night with a baby. And just seeing them choose that and see that as an act of love was a big shot in the arm to me to be like, okay, it's not about me throwing a pity party for myself in the middle of the night because, like, I'm not choosing. I have to do this. But, anyways, I just think there's such a powerful opportunity for us to not just become this huddle of parents telling horror stories, but to even let in religious people in the single life. And just say, like, you know, how can I pull inspiration from you? How can you pull inspiration from me? We all have the same hope to build up the church. You know, I'm doing that at my dinner table. They're doing that through missionary work. But that is the hope, the mission to build the church.
What would you say to families who are maybe struggling with all those things that we struggle with at Mass? You know, children screaming, crying, maybe parishioners looking at them like, keep the kid quiet. What would you say
Yeah.
to encourage them?
Oh my. I will say I'm right there with you. I'll say, you know, keep coming. One of the most powerful things that we've done in our family, once a kid can understand, is that we tell our kids that the hour of Mass we do go attend together on Sundays is the most important hour of our week. Like, there's no comparison. It is the most important hour. And so even if your oldest is 6 months old and doesn't understand that, I think saying that to each other as spouses and even saying that with your child in your arms is a great reminder. Like, no, this is the most important hour of my week. It will not be compromised, you know? And, like, yeah, it might be hard. Like, you know, I can trade horror stories about Mass all day long. I get it. But just having that mindset, like, this is uncompromising. This is the most important hour of my week. And, you know, so on the Catholic Sprouts podcast, we've talked, you know, up and down the Ten Commandments. And I think the most powerful explanation for our Sunday obligation to me is just the fact that God told us to do it, you know? It's not like, oh, you need it. Oh, it helps you, blah, blah, blah. Sure, that's good. But it's just like, remember, the Lord of the universe, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who pulled the mountains out of the ground, told you to do this. So do it. You know, we can all survive anything for an hour. And it does get better. I mean, we're to the point now where, you know, one of our sons is old enough to be an altar server, another one will be joining him soon. You know, our daughters can be lectors at Mass, and it's just you get over the hump before you realize it, and it's such a beautiful thing to see your kids. Yeah, they're still kids, they still complain, but just to see them find their place in the Mass It's beautiful.
Nancy, where can our listeners go to learn more about the Catholic parent?
Sure. So it's on Formed. And if you don't know what Formed is, it's basically Catholic Netflix. So if you go to formed.org, it's run by the Augustine Institute. It is a paid subscription. However, most parishes will have a paid subscription for you. So if you don't know if your parish has a subscription, call the parish office or check the bulletin. There's usually a code that you need. But it's right there. Just go search the Catholic parent and you'll find it. The nice thing is that they kept the episodes short. So they're only about 15 minutes each and there's six of them. And I know there's a lot of parishes that are doing watch gatherings, where they're coming together to watch and discuss. And I think that's probably the best way to do it because, you're going to have a reaction. You're just like, oh my, when they, like there's one point in the confession video, they're filming us in our van driving to confession, and my 12-year-old son's in the back, and he said something super snarky, like you're gonna see my kids at their worst behavior. So anyway, but it's just like I've had people email me and be like, oh my goodness, when your son said that from the back of the van, I could hear my own son, I could hear the word, all these things. So anyways, you're gonna want other parents there to watch with it and react and share your own stories afterward.
Great. Nancy, thank you for your time today, and God bless everything you're doing over there at Catholic Sprouts and the Catholic Parent. And
Thank you.
thanks so much. Nice talking with you.
Yeah, it's nice talking to you too. Thanks, William.
Thank you. God bless.